Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on this Monday, July the 30th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock. Are doctors too quick to prescribe OxyContin or its generic equivalent, oxycodone? The medication is used for pain, but some patients say that they don't get relief from anything else. Our guest this hour says the general public doesn't know very much about this medication or how addictive it is. Her association, Waukesha County's Addiction Resource Council, is dealing with a surge of clients using oxycodone, and law enforcement officials are dealing with a rash of pharmacy robberies by people trying to get their hands on the drug. We will talk about OxyContin abuse this hour and what can be done about it with a guest first who thinks that the drug is overprescribed and that it is more addictive than previously thought, and will be organizing a campaign that will kick off in August in response to the abuse of OxyContin. After 6:30, we will talk with a professor of pharmacology who's an expert in pain relief to get her perspective on the problems associated with OxyContin abuse. And we will welcome your questions and maybe even your experiences for both of our guests. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. We'll begin with our first guest, Claudia Roska. She is Executive Director of the Addiction Resource Council in Waukesha County. She is involved in a countywide campaign to put an end to the abuse of OxyContin, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning. Hello, Claudia Roska, are you there? Well, I don't know why our guest isn't there, so I will have to get the attention of my producer, Christina Taylor, to try to reestablish contact with our guest, maybe check to see if our guest is online, or try to reestablish contact because I don't have her. Again, you can join our conversation by calling 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Again, after 6:30, we will hear from another guest who says it's not the drug itself that's the problem, but rather the people who have a history of substance abuse. And again, we wonder if you have any thoughts or questions about the ease or lack of ease that we have in getting prescription pain relievers, especially OxyContin. Okay, we have reestablished contact with our guest, Claudia Roska, Executive Director of the Addiction Resource Council. In August, the council will begin a countywide campaign in Waukesha County to end OxyContin abuse. Good morning. Not sure why we have our guest on the telephone, but can't seem to put her on the air. So we'll try to work out that gremlin and be able to bring you our guest, I hope. After 6:30, we will be welcoming in June Dahl, Professor of Pharmacology for the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And again, welcome your thoughts and questions on all of this. After 7 o'clock, it's our State Capitol Report, and we will talk with Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, about the conference committee that is working on trying to hammer out a compromise in the state budget. We'll see if there are areas of compromise or where the biggest differences are between the legislative leaders, from Sean Johnson coming up after 7 o'clock. And then after 7:30, we will have two different guests with two different perspectives on the oil tax. Governor Doyle proposed an oil tax to help fund transportation projects in Wisconsin, and the Senate approved that oil tax and included it in its version of the state budget. And we will talk with a guest who supports that and a guest who opposes it coming up in our 7:30 to 8 o'clock segment. All right, we're going to try something else. We got our guest on another line, and hopefully this line is going to work for us. Claudia Roska, are you there? Boy, this is going to be a hard program to handle if we don't have a function here. Claudia Roska, are you there?
Yes, I am.
That is so odd. Okay, well, we finally got you, and we apologize for the technical difficulties on our end, but now we have you. Tell me how big of a problem this is, the abuse of OxyContin in your neighborhood, in your community.
Yes, I only heard half of that question, but I think you're asking, I hope.
How big of a problem is the abuse of OxyContin?
We recently looked at our local numbers in relationship to a report that was put out through the Office of National Drug Control Policy in February of this year, which stated that there was an emerging drug threat regarding the abuse and misuse of OxyContin, particularly among teens. When we looked at our numbers, we found that although the numbers of individuals were small, the increase over the last 5 years was incredibly large. In other words, it was a quick growth of self-report of OxyContin in particular abuse and other pain medications as well.
And what is your campaign going to be focused on? What will you do with your anti-OxyContin campaign?
I really wouldn't want to call it an anti-OxyContin campaign. We certainly recognize that there is a medical use for this prescription drug, but we see a great deal of abuse among misuse, in other words, not prescribed. Use of the drug. What we're hoping to do is to partner with pharmacists in our community to get the word out about the dangers of using this drug other than as prescribed.
We're going to check our weather forecast and then continue talking with Claudia Rosca, Executive Director of the Addiction Resource Council in Waukesha County, 1-800-642-1234, and Madison 263-1890. We have figured out our phone problem, so we shouldn't have any problem getting you on. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Good to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. We'll continue talking about OxyContin during this hour, and then it's our state capitol report after 7 o'clock. And after 8, we will welcome in Kevin McKinley, who is the host of Wisconsin Public Radio's On Your Money program, to talk about personal finance issues and what we should do with the stock market going into fits these days. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. Our guest this hour is Claudia Rosca. She is the executive director of the Addiction Resource Council of Waukesha County. She is preparing a countywide campaign to put an end to the abuse of OxyContin. And our number, if you have a question, is 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And Ms. Rosca, once again, then you are not you do not think the article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said that you thought that perhaps oxycodone or OxyContin has been overprescribed. Do you think that's a problem?
I do think it is a problem. However, I'm not certain that I would necessarily say overprescribed. It is prescribed appropriately, but I think the case of leaving it in the medicine cabinet, for example, at home, and not having the person to whom it was prescribed using it, in other words, having access to it. Teens are abusing prescription drugs because they believe that those drugs provide a safe way to get high. So those types of pain relievers, such as OxyContin, left in the medicine cabinet, are easily abused by teens.
Yeah, so that is what you think is happening here with teens and other people who have not been prescribed this medication are then somehow getting their hands on it?
Yes, exactly. I do believe that's happening. And that's not to say that people for whom it is prescribed aren't also abusing it. I think we need to put this in some type of a perspective. We live in a society here in the United States in which 6 to 10% of the population abuse illicit drugs. About 15% abuse alcohol. 20% to 21% are addicted to nicotine. 33% use illegal drugs at least once in their lifetime. And I think it should be no surprise that we also have a problem with drugs that are prescribed, looking at the fact that we live in a society in which drug abuse occurs. In the National Institute on Drug Abuse in 2003 released information that stated prescription opioid abuse is 400% higher today than it was in the 1980s. I think this clearly indicates a problem with accessibility. I take issue with the word overprescribed because I really don't know how the numbers with which it is prescribed, but I know that looking at the 400% increase in opioid abuse, prescription opioid abuse, that it certainly is more accessible than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and you are seeing with your Addiction Resource Council that this is fast becoming the drug of choice of those who are seeking your services?
It's the fastest growing. It certainly isn't the most widely abused. Alcohol, of course, eclipses the abuse of all other drugs combined. But the abuse of prescription opioids is the fastest growing drug of abuse.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a caller. Darwin in DeSoto. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I believe about in September of last year's Reader's Digest, there was an article on this oxycodone, OxyContin, so on and so forth. Of the six major drugs on the market, OxyContin is by far the cleanest and less destructive drug, period. Advil, aspirin, ibuprofen, all those others are garbage by comparison, number one. Number two, OxyContin has a time-release chemical in it. Oxycodone has no time-release chemical in it, and oxycodone has the generic name of good old Percocet. They do some name changing over the century or generations, you know, just like they did Valium, the diazepam, the same old business. That was all. Thank you.
Well, what's the point, Darwin?
Oh, the point is I don't think a lot of stuff's being over-abused. I think that the numbers are on the increase because the doctors are getting, by the same proportion, smarter.
All right, smarter. Well, maybe. There are those who say, Claudia Rosca, that that this is OxyContin, at least, I've read, is one of the few pain relievers that a lot of people say actually works for them, that the others do not. And so perhaps more of this is being used because it works.
I doubt that OxyContin, appropriately prescribed and used according to prescription, is a good, for lack of a better word, medication. I mean, it is a pain reliever. It works. It is my understanding that it is also time-released. One of the things we're seeing is people often breaking the tablets or crushing them, which releases the drug into the system all at one time, producing a high and a very serious potential for opioid overdose and respiratory and death caused by respiratory
failure.
That
is true. The OxyContin with a time release, because at the end of the day, they're snorting so much of it that they OD'd themselves.
Well, I don't know how funny that is, Darwin, but the time, yeah, that's so that's how it is also being abused. They get they crush it and they will ingest it that way. So is Darwin right though? Do you know, Claudia Rosca, that oxycodone, the generic, is not this way?
And I have to defer to a pharmacist or mm-hmm. a physician on that. I do believe that OxyContin is the brand name, and oxycodone is the controlled release, the generic, the chemical. But again, I
yeah. Well, we can certainly clarify that with our next guest. Yeah, I believe that our next guest, who is an expert in pain management, doesn't think there is any evidence that it's being overprescribed, and you're not necessarily saying that either.
That's correct.
Yeah, but she's also concerned that doctors will, if you know, that they might not prescribe the needed pain relief that people have if there are concerns that a certain prescription might be addictive or subject to abuse. Are you concerned about that too? That people won't get the pain relief they need if doctors are hesitant to prescribe this?
I let me explain my position mm-hmm. on this. I think that there is a strong possibility that that will happen unless appropriate screening procedures are put in place at the physician's office. And by that I mean we do need to screen for potential for abuse. If we have, if there are patients who have a history of substance abuse, I think, I'm not even saying that they shouldn't be prescribed the medication, but they need to be carefully monitored and should indeed be involved in a program that specifically monitors their substance abuse at that time. The truth is, we know how to treat substance abuse and dependency. And there may be a point in time where pain medication is necessary, but we can't ignore other diseases such as substance abuse and dependency, which may co-occur along with this pain. They need to be treated simultaneously, and they need to be, most importantly, identified. I think that there is a potential for under-prescribing, but I think careful screening, monitoring, appropriate referrals, co-working with professionals from both fields can certainly stop or intervene, let me just say, in the possibility of abusing this drug, meaning not being used as prescribed. And again, we also can't ignore the fact that even people who have had no history of substance abuse or dependency can indeed become both either dependent and abusive of this particular pain medication. But I do agree that there may be reluctance to prescribe. I think that putting in careful screening, monitoring, reduces all of the dangers, let's just mm-hmm. say, and I say reduce, it doesn't eliminate, of the possibility of a harmful addiction or dependence.
We'll need to leave it there. Claudia Roska, thank you so much for being with us, and I apologize for our technical issues earlier in the half hour.
Well, thank you.
Claudia Roska, Executive Director of the Addiction Resource Council of Waukesha County. We'll talk more about OxyContin abuse coming up after the news. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Monday, July the 30th. Welcoming in this segment of the program, another guest on the issue of OxyContin use and abuse. The medication is prescribed to relieve severe pain, but it's the target also of a rash of pharmacy robberies in southeastern Wisconsin and other parts of the state. Recently, the manufacturer of OxyContin agreed to pay large fines for lying about the drug's addictive properties. And we just heard from a guest in our last half hour who says that this is fast becoming the drug of choice for the clients that her Addiction Resource Council is serving. And her group is preparing a countywide campaign to try to raise awareness on the dangers of OxyContin addiction. 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can use to ask a question about OxyContin Use and Abuse, 1-800-642-1234, and Madison, 263-1890. Our guest in this half hour is June Dahl, professor of pharmacology for the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, our guest in our first half hour is concerned about the growing number of people who are apparently having problems with OxyContin or equivalent drugs, talking about nationwide there being a 400% increase in the addiction rates. Do you see the abuse of OxyContin as a big problem?
The abuse of prescription pain medicines has become a big problem in this country. I think we have to reflect on her number. I believe that was a 400% increase in the last 20 years.
Right.
And 20 years ago, if we look back on that time, there was very little prescribing of these pain medicines. That was one of the reasons that pain was so poorly treated. Folks were really afraid to prescribe these drugs, afraid that their patients would become addicted. And finally, there began to come data to show that these drugs can be used safely and effectively. And in particular, we have lots of patients who have used OxyContin safely and effectively, patients with pain due to cancer or with persistent pain from other causes. So this is a drug that has been highly effective and has been used very safely by thousands and thousands of patients. But we do, in fact, have a problem now with diversion and abuse. I don't have current numbers to compare this year to last year. I suspect perhaps the abuse problem is leveling out since there's such greater awareness of the fact that this drug has been preferred by many persons who abuse drugs.
Yeah. You don't believe that this drug is being overprescribed by doctors?
There is no evidence that it's being underprescribed. And I think lots of people like to say that we really have two important public health problems coexisting. One is the undertreatment of pain, and the other is the abuse of various drugs. And the concern that we have is that, in fact, prescribers will become overly cautious. They will be reluctant to prescribe, even to patients for whom this drug is very appropriate, patients for whom this drug may be the best approach to managing pain. So we always have to maintain an appropriate balance. The concerns, the legitimate concerns about diversion and abuse of the medicine, with the fact that there's lots of patients who need these kinds of drugs for pain control. And the one thing about these drugs that's interesting is that there are differences among them in the way patients respond. So that for some persons, oxycodone, the drug in OxyContin, is actually a better drug than the other opioids, which many call narcotics. So they get better pain relief with fewer side effects. And this patient variability is something that we can't explain yet, but it is a clinical reality.
Yeah. Now, oxycodone is different than OxyContin? Is that we had a caller in our first half hour who thought they were different.
Oxycodone is the generic name of one of the opioid analgesics and is, as your caller said, the opioid that is in the drug that we commonly refer to as Percocet, which combines oxycodone with acetaminophen. That's a very rational combination that is frequently prescribed. OxyContin is one of the family of controlled-release opioids. The first controlled-release drugs were in the morphine family, and there's several of those. And we also have a controlled-release patch formulation that delivers fentanyl. And then there is OxyContin, which is controlled-release oxycodone. And ironically, it was assumed, and still is assumed, there are data to show this, that their addiction potential is less with these controlled-release formulations. There are data from human studies, from animal studies, that show that when you have continuous release of the medicine, which gives you a constant blood level, that there's less risk of addiction than there is with episodic dosing, where you take a short-acting drug and the blood levels are going up and down repeatedly over time.
Mm-hmm. The group that is starting this awareness campaign, or the campaign to try to put an end to the abuse of OxyContin, wants to partner with pharmacists in this campaign that would focus on proper instructions on the use of these medications, and also to raise awareness among adults with children in the home, because they see a lot more teens abusing this drug. Any thoughts on how society might deal with those who have a problem with OxyContin?
Well, I think she was right on target, and perhaps we should say that this problem with abuse of this drug and other opioids, in fact, OxyContin is not the most abused opioid. Hydrocodone, the drug that is in Vicodin, is in fact the most abused, and we don't hear a lot about that. But let's go back to the question of the ideas of doing something to teach people more about the potential risk. I applaud this. I think we should look at this abuse issue as a teachable moment. And indeed, prescribers have to exercise caution, as your previous guest said, in selecting patients that they decide need to have a drug like OxyContin. They must assess for the risk of abuse and addiction and diversion and have the same level of concern about those issues as they do about all of the things they have to focus on in appropriately managing pain. I wish we would have heard more about her idea of engaging pharmacists. That could be a challenging thing, because we have to be sure that the pharmacists themselves are not overly concerned about diversion and abuse. So again, it's all a matter of balance. We have to make sure that clinicians, when they become involved in teaching patients about the potential for diversion and abuse, don't go overboard and, in fact, make individuals more afraid of these drugs. There is lots of evidence to suggest that patients are indeed very fearful of opioids and often are reluctant to take them. And this is a well-documented reason why, for example, persons with cancer have inadequate management of their pain, because they're afraid of the drugs. They're afraid of becoming addicted.
Mm-hmm. Our guest is June Dahl, professor of pharmacology for the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking with us about stories about OxyContin abuse on the rise. There was a article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel recently, earlier this month, talking about the rash of robberies in southeastern Wisconsin, pharmacy robberies by people apparently looking for OxyContin. City of Waukesha had 4 pharmacy robberies in recent months. Police in Germantown, Heartland, Plymouth, and West Allis investigating recent pharmacy robberies. We talked with a guest in our first half hour who says that the Waukesha County Addiction Resource Council is dealing with a surge of clients using OxyContin or oxycodone, and this organization is preparing a campaign to try to end the abuse of OxyContin. We welcome your thoughts and questions about this issue, and maybe even your experiences. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 13 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7, it's our State Capitol Report. We'll welcome in Wisconsin Public Radio State Government reporter Sean Johnson to talk about the conference committee that's trying to hammer out a state budget. We'll find out where there are areas of agreement and disagreement. And then we'll also hear from two guests who have different points of view on an oil tax that could fund transportation projects in Wisconsin. That's our State Capitol Report coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we're talking about the use and abuse of OxyContin. a pain reliever, a prescription pain reliever that apparently is the target of robbers of pharmacies in southeastern Wisconsin in recent months, and all over the state for that matter. And we're wondering whether or not this is a drug that is overprescribed. Our guest says there's no evidence it is. We're talking about how we might stem the abuse of pain relievers like OxyContin with June Dahl, professor of pharmacology for the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Let me ask you, Professor Dahl, to comment, if you will, though, on this court case where the makers of OxyContin apparently did pay a big fine for apparently telling doctors that they could prescribe OxyContin every 8 hours instead of the 12-hour interval approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
I was not aware that that was the primary factor involved in this case, but it does give me the opportunity to say that although some people do get 12 hours of pain relief from OxyContin, others have to take it every 8 hours. There's a great individual variation in response to medicines, pain medicines in particular, so that you can't be certain when a drug is first prescribed precisely how long it's going to last. And although if you read the package insert for OxyContin, it would say that it works for 12 hours. Indeed, there are patients who don't get relief for that long a time. And that is typical of the other controlled release products. They may not last as long as the data initially indicated that they would. So every patient is an individual pharmacologic experiment. I think it's very important to emphasize that the admission of guilt by the company executives doesn't change the fact that OxyContin is a highly effective pain reliever. And as I said at the outset, it's been used by thousands of persons with cancer pain and persistent pain due to other causes. So we mustn't let this particular court case affect rational prescribing. And we must, and I think your guest emphasized that, use this as an opportunity to teach people about using this drug appropriately. So the concerns that have come from this court case and from the abuse that has been well documented shouldn't result in patients being denied access to the drug.
Yeah. Let's take a call. Mary in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning to you.
Morning.
I would like to give a little bit of a different viewpoint. Joy, I appreciate your comments this morning, but I just want to give you a viewpoint from the inside looking out opposed to the outside looking in and living with someone with OxyContin, if it was my spouse. And he was involved in a car accident, and a doctor prescribed it to him. And he's a nurse. I'm not in the nursing field or anything like that, but it really altered his personality. He became highly addictive, and I feel it was very overprescribed to him because he got very addicted to it. He would go back in to the doctor appointments, and if he said, hey, you know, I'm still feeling pain, he would just increase it. He wouldn't ask him, are you having any side effects? He didn't do any sort of evaluation, and it really upset our family. You know, we have children, and it really did a lot of harm. And I felt like it was, we were just sent in a boat up a creek with no paddle, you know, no education on it. And it was, I could just detect when it, he would literally be in a daze. He would just get too much of it in his system. And then we would have to try and wean him off of it.
Yeah. Mary, I'm very happy that you called in to give us your experience. Your cell phone is breaking up a little bit, and it's a little difficult to understand you, but from what I gathered, your partner or your spouse was addicted to OxyContin, and it was causing problems with your family, but yet the doctor kept on prescribing it, you say, without maybe screening a little more carefully. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you have to say about that, Professor Dahl? I know you don't know that specific, but, you know, is there something a doctor could do to make sure this doesn't happen?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. There should be much more careful assessment of the potential risk of abuse by a particular patient, and certainly monitoring response to the drug. it's not just a matter of treating the intensity of the pain. What the physician also needs to do is to evaluate the function of the patient, and clearly careful exploration of this patient's situation would have documented that the drug was, in fact, making things worse, not better. So it's very important that we educate prescribers and encourage them about appropriate use of the drug. Rational prescribing should be the key. And it's sad when one hears this kind of a report, but certainly this kind of thing can happen.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mary, for the call. Adam in Milwaukee, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that when I first heard about the lawsuit and that they agreed to pay some $660 million or whatever it was, I was so disgusted. You know, we talk about how expensive healthcare is in our society, and you know how much our medications cost, and we wonder why they're so expensive. It's because we're using pharmaceutical companies as a scapegoat for people to make money. And you know what? I'm not going to say that these drugs aren't addictive. The OxyContin isn't addictive, but as your guest has pointed out, this is just one drug in a whole family of drugs out there. So there's nothing really unique that I see about OxyContin other than the fact that it was a brand name drug, and yeah, people are going around to pharmacies trying to get their hands on it. But if anybody should take responsibility, I think it should be the patients and the doctors. You know, this is a Schedule II medication, which is the most controlled substance that we have besides the Schedule I, which is meaning completely illegal. So it's not like physicians didn't know that this is going to be an addictive drug in the first place. But anyway, that's just my two cents. Thank you.
Any comment on his two cents, Professor?
I think his two cents were right on target in terms of the fact that we and everyone was well aware that all of these drugs have the potential to be abused. I didn't quite catch all he said about pharmaceutical companies, and I'm not I don't have the background to comment on that. But in terms of the potential for abuse, this is one among many drugs, and they are very carefully controlled. Their prescribing is very well monitored, in fact, in some states. So it's a complex problem with lots of different components to it. And the thing I want to hammer home is that we should not, in this process of concern, deny access. But I would, if I may, like to reinforce a comment that your previous guest made, because we do have evidence that teens, and some teens have unfortunately overdosed and died as a result of their abuse of this particular medicine, but that teens have gotten their drugs from the family medicine cabinet. I believe your guest said that, and I think it's incumbent on all families to make certain that these medications are kept in a secure place. And particularly if your teens have friends going in and out of the house, it should not be possible for them to go into the medicine cabinet and just take things willy-nilly. This is asking for trouble.
Yeah. There was also some who were concerned that the OxyContin should only be reserved for those who have severe pain. And it's being, some say it's being prescribed more and more for moderate to severe pain. Do you have any comment on that?
You're getting into a fuzzy area with trying to separate moderate and severe pain. I think there are many instances in which OxyContin might be the most effective and safest drug for someone to use who has pain that's in that range of moderate to severe. So it's hard to say precisely what is severe pain, so it is restricted to that indication only. This would really hamper physicians who ought to have the ability to make a decision about which drugs to use based upon their careful assessment of the patient, not only the patient's intensity of pain, but also the type of pain that a patient has.
So in conclusion, Professor Dahl, you believe that having OxyContin is overall a benefit to society because it helps control this horrendous pain that so many people have.
Right, and as I said before, it's important to always recognize that patients vary greatly in their response to this class of drugs, to the opioid analgesics, and OxyContin is just one of them. And for some people, oxycodone, which is the drug in OxyContin,
is the best. They get better pain relief with fewer side effects. We don't know why that is the case, but that is the clinical reality. So to deny them access to this drug would certainly prove a disadvantage in terms of the quality of care.
We really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
June Dahl, professor of pharmacology for the School of Medicine and Public Health at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Our guest in our first half hour was Claudia Roska, who is the executive director of Waukesha County's Addiction Resource Council, which is going to kick off a countywide campaign to try to put an end to the abuse of OxyContin. We thank both of them for being with us, and we thank you for listening and for calling in. Thanks to Keisha Mabra for producing the hour and to Christina Taylor for on-air production. If you'd like a CD copy of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444, or you can listen to our talk shows, which are archived on our website at your convenience, WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.